In the name of Jesus, amen. As you walked in today, you probably noticed as you walked through that things were a little different. Something caught your eye and noticed the Christmas tree or maybe even the nativity set up there or some of the poinsettias and the banners and things. We're getting pretty excited for the Advent season, especially Christmas around the corner, even with all the changes. But you noticed that. Have you ever been doing something you regularly do, a normal task, and something just catches your eye? You're coming to church, and something new catches your eye. Whether you're on your way running errands or doing a normal activity, I know something as simple as working on my car, I'm just changing the oil and going through the motions, and then something just catches my eye. Either battery acid just on the battery there and have to clean more of that up, or something's loose and needs to be refastened or retightened. Just a simple fix. But sometimes, though, you're caught up in the bigger problem. You're going to the doctor for a routine checkup, and not a care in the world. It's just one of those things you need to do today and among all the other errands you have going on. But then the doctor notices something serious. And all those other errands, all those other things going on are quickly forgotten. Because now you're focused in on the problem that just popped up. Our focus or our attention or our eye is constantly being redirected or caught by different changes. Sure, there are things that do distract us, and I'm sure media and all those social things are a constant perpetrator. But what I'm talking about are those moments when you're focused in or have your eyes set on a certain goal and then something or someone catches your eye and then your focus is drawn somewhere else. The goal shifts somehow. And there's a new reality you have to walk down. A new reality you realize that's before you. A new set of things that need to be done than what you previously thought. Your whole perspective is just changed. Well, I believe that's what's going on in our text today. At least that's what the gospel lesson kind of does to us. The text for today directs our focus and attention somewhere else than what we might have expected. We're entering the Advent season. We're in the preparation for the coming King, the return of Christ, to prepare and remember the day when Jesus is born. Advent is that preparation for Christ, the season of waiting, of hoping, of all the joy and love and peace. But our reading from Mark directs our eyes to Palm Sunday. For the story we hear is about the Palm Sunday. It's something we celebrate later on, next year, on Holy Week. And in this story, Jesus is set for Jerusalem. Because you see, Jesus already has been around, has been doing his ministry. He's transfigured before his disciples. He's been on the mountain. He's predicted his death on three different occasions. And now we are entering the first day of Holy Week at the beginning of Advent. But Jesus' eyes in the story are set on Jerusalem. And he's focused in. And here in Mark, Jesus takes a needed detour to enter Jerusalem properly. The beginning is a bit strange. Especially for Mark, because as if you've read him or have gone through him, he uses the word immediately a lot. So he's not too concerned about the details. But here Mark stops for a moment as Jesus and company draw near to the city of Jerusalem. And before they go in, he requests of his disciples to go get a colt that he might ride on as he enters. And so he gives them instruction as to where they'll find the colt and what they're to say if they are asked about why they're taking the colt. And so the disciples go and fulfill their role. They are stopped on the way, as if Jesus knew, and are asked why they are taking the colt, and they tell the people standing there what Jesus said. The Lord has need of it. And so the colt is brought to Jesus, and he sits on the colt to go into the city. And the crowds then gathered and cheered, laying down branches and cloaks. Jesus enters Jerusalem with a kingly welcome. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of our father David, the king that they know. Hosanna in the highest. The people are pretty ecstatic, and they're thrilled that the king, that this promised Messiah has arrived. The scriptures are being fulfilled in Christ's arrival. The son of David riding in on a colt, the chosen son of man to arrive and take his place as king and ruler of Israel. I suspect that the significance of those Old Testament texts are not missed, that the king himself will take back what belongs to him, that he'll take back Israel. The messianic king will take back what belongs, and the Israelites seem to think it'll be in strength and power. Just like David. But that's not what Jesus has in mind, as you know. When he enters in on the colt, his focus is elsewhere. His attention is toward a different means, by different means to get there. His throne is something else. His strength lies somewhere else. It's hard to say what exactly the people were thinking or what they were looking for when Jesus arrived. But it's rather obvious what they were not anticipating. I doubt any of them thought that Jesus would be dead by the end of the week, because they had something else in mind. They were focused on a different result. They were focused on a different reality and expectation altogether. The people were looking for a king to overthrow the Roman government, the Roman authorities that had enslaved them, the people of Israel. And perhaps they were looking for the chosen Messiah to exchange that colt for a chariot. And instead, they were caught off guard and saw something completely different by the end. They noticed something that wasn't what they expected. Jesus turns from a welcomed king arriving into his city to a criminal sentenced to death. And it's no wonder that they forgot everything that preceded, because they were focused on something else completely. They were caught up in a different reality. And so what are you focused in on? What are you looking for? We are in Advent, and we're directed to receive the coming Savior, to return in his birth and remember it on Christmas Day. You're focused on the King as we end our time of thankfulness. Or are there other things probably grabbing your attention? It's hard not to be drawn away or focused on other things. Because over here, there's something important going on. When you have bills to pay, when you have groceries to buy, when you have deadlines to achieve or to make ends meet, when you have family or friends to keep in touch with, and all those worries that are on your horizon. But then they all seem to fall apart when your eye is caught by something else. When a spouse is taken to the hospital, or a sudden death in the family, or someone close to you is affected by a virus. Your focus is now shaped by what has just happened. And all those other worries and all those other responsibilities you need to deal with, they don't become as important anymore. Because your focus is diverted to the thing that is most important. Not only with your energy or your effort, but with your resources and your finances, all your attention are focused on the thing that matters. That one more important thing. Because everything else that matters doesn't matter as much as what matters now, here, and what matters most. And your anticipations change. And you enter a new reality of life, a new perspective. And so what is catching your eye today? Are you looking for a sense of security and safety in a broken and messy world? Perhaps you're wrapped up in the spread of information provided by various and all kinds of people, maybe becoming an expert in areas that you're not even called to be responsible for. Maybe you're looking for a political savior who will enact a rule and reign that meets your expectation and sets right by your standards. Or perhaps you're focused on just surviving a pretty dreadful season. You want to be able to celebrate the holiday season and joy in the way you once knew. But now you're just hoping just to get by unscathed. Why do these important things overwhelm our focus and our attention? I know why they grab my attention. Because ultimately, I'm afraid. I fear the outcome. I fear what will happen next. Because I need assurance for tomorrow. You see, what steals our attention and changes our focus, they're not inherently bad things to be concerned about. You should be concerned about your spouse. You should be concerned about your health, getting the facts straight, or protecting your family. But truthfully, those things that we give our attention to only have our focus because behind them stands what really matters to us, our own fears. And those are what we're truly focused on. We're looking past what matters and seeing what we really want our fears to be overcome. We look through them to the fear and doubt that plagues our own heart. Jesus had his eyes set for Jerusalem, but he didn't have his eyes set for a great welcome, for people's praises, for a triumphant and royal entry. Jesus' eyes were set on one thing, and he was marching towards the cross. The Son of God himself even looked toward the goal of the cross in fear. For he prayed, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me." But his fear was not the same as your fear. For he spoke, "Yet not I will, but what you will." And all that he focused on and all that he had in front of him prepared came to pass. He was rejected by his own people, arrested there in Gethsemane, tried before Pilate and the priests. He was condemned to die as a criminal and crucified on the cross. That was his goal. That was his focus and attention. His throne, a splintering cross and suffering. And it was there that he died. The same people shouting, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." Those same people and even the disciples never anticipated this was the focus and goal for the Messiah. They never knew that Christ was headed towards this end. But this is exactly what overwhelmed Jesus Christ's attention. To be led to the most profane and ugliest sights. But it is here at the cross in which the strength and power of God is revealed. For at the cross, it's where God chose to reveal his love, his mercy, and his beauty. For while the cross was the focus for Jesus Christ, the cross was his end goal to go through suffering. But it wasn't the cross for the cross' sake that Jesus was going towards it. For it was through the cross Jesus Christ's attention was not placed in the fear beyond it. It wasn't the fear that lied behind the cross. But it was the love he had that went on beyond. For it was the means of suffering and death, the most perverted and ugly thing of all creation, that you were his focus. And it received all his attention. To answer the cries of Hosanna to save you. That's what the goal was for him. In the resurrection, he now delivers the promise of salvation, the promise of the cross to you so that you could be his and he could be yours. You overwhelm his focus and attention, and the path of the cross was all with you in mind. He did not choose to save in the most glorious way. He did not come in riding in a chariot and wielding a sword to save his creation and rule his world. Instead, he came in a lowly way, on a colt entering into Jerusalem, in a manger lying in a stable, and going to the cross. It's in the lowliest and unforeseen, unexpected ways that Christ retakes what belongs to him. And I don't know what cross you have to bear this day, or what you've been bearing over the last weeks and months. I don't know what's grabbing your attention or seeking to steal you away, but I do know what lies beyond the cross, and it lies beyond in your life too. It's not fear. You see, the cross you are focused on, or the things that you steal your that steal your attention, are now placed in their proper place, because they no longer cause you the same level of fear, worry, and anxiety that you believe they place on you. Jesus Christ has taken on those pains and sufferings and death with them on the cross for you, so that he could have you. And now something else catches your eye. For behind those things that take up your attention lies where your focus belongs. Focusing through the crosses in your life is but a test to your faith in Jesus Christ. He is where your assurance, your peace, your hope, and all your joy lie. For Jesus Christ is the focus, and he is the one who takes up the sins and suffering that you and I go through, and he places them on himself. The fear that seems to overwhelm your life is taken by Christ himself, so that you're no longer controlled or dictated by the fear, but instead your trust is placed in the one who rules over all creation and takes care of it. Through the cross, you are focused on what really matters, on what Christ has given you, and that's life in his name, his love and his mercy for you. That's a newer reality that you are a part of. It's a new perspective that gives meaning and opens up your life to you. Maybe it's not what you expected. The love that he shows is not what you anticipated. It's often not the way we would like him to show or reveal himself. But he does show you and tell you that he is in control and that he has taken care of you. He has those pains and sufferings dealt with, and he will handle them in the way that he sees fit. Continue to trust that God has you safely in his arms from all that might distract us or steal our attention. If you look at the beginning of our text one more time, Mark is not a gospel writer who typically puts in a lot of details. He seems to try to rush to the important parts. But there are moments where he slows down and there are causes to pause. Before going into the city, Jesus has his disciples go and grab a colt. And you see Jesus call two of his disciples. Jesus tells them where to go, what to do, and what to say if someone asks, "Why are you doing this?" The disciples do as he says and encounter exactly what Jesus Christ told them. Jesus runs the show. He's the one that's in control. Jesus Christ has called you, and he has told you where to go and what to do. He's called you here into his church through unexpected means like water and a morsel of bread and wine. He's told you where to go by placing you where you are. And he's told you what to do by giving you the relationships and responsibilities that are right here in front of you. And he's told you what to say when someone asks, "Why are you doing this?" Your response? The Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of you. Not for anything of himself, but what the creation needs from you and what your neighbor needs from you. They're right in front of you. Let them catch your eye. Love and care for them. For the crucified Christ loves and cares for them. He is preparing a place for you and all who are called to him. And a kingdom that has no end. A kingdom that will exceed all our expectations. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.